So I invite you to close your eyes. In closing your eyes, I invite you to consent. To consent to God's presence and God's action in your life. In the spirit of the Blessed Virgin Mary, be it done unto me according to your word. She is a wonderful model of what it means to consent. Jesus praying to his dad in the garden, "Thy will be done, thy will be done." Patient trust. Above all, trust in the slow work of God. We are quite naturally impatient in everything to reach the end without delay. We should like to skip the intermediate stages. We are impatient of being on the way to something unknown, something new. And yet it is the law of all progress that it is made by passing through some stages of instability, and that it may take a very long time. And so I think it is with you. Your ideas and desires mature gradually. Let them grow. Let them shape themselves without undue haste. Don't try to force them on as though you could be today what time, that is to say, grace and circumstances acting on your own goodwill, will make of you tomorrow. Only God could say what this new spirit gradually forming within you will be. Give our Lord the benefit of believing that his hand is leading you, and embrace the anxiety of feeling yourself in suspense and at many times incomplete. Above all, trust in the slow work of God. Above all, trust in the slow work of God. And as always, we end our prayer in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now that's from Teilhard de Chardin. And if you haven't heard of him, you should get to know him. I love how the prayer starts, "Trust in the slow work of God." Usually we're beating ourselves up because it's not going as well as it should be. But there's no use, there's nothing more silly than a leader racing out in front and having to look behind and nobody's behind them. And Jesus knows that. Jesus is not in race out behind, he's walking with us. The prayer of St. Patrick is so wonderful. In front of me, behind me, over me, but behind us, you know, he's kind of like pushing us and waiting for us really to kind of move along. And he knows our pace. Like any good trainer, if you would, you don't rush somebody ahead of time or else they'll they'll what do they call them? The flame will go out inside of them. So God's working with each one of us in the pace that we should be working on. And that idea of feeling a little, I like embrace the anxiety of feeling yourself in suspense and incomplete. That means you're a work in progress. Isn't that exciting? You know, so many times we want to be finished with it. And I always think of us being the vessel of clay, you know, and God's working on us. Seriously, and I watched a potter work, you know. It's spinning around and they're forming and forming. Here's God working on Carla Rico, forming, move this out. I want to try to work that thing out. Then every once in a while he looks and God looks and goes, oh, for goodness sakes. And then, okay, let's just start again, you know. We're going to get this right and what have you. I am happy God's working on me. I don't want to be a vase in a museum. I found Jesus and I'm complete.
Yeah.
You know, whatever, that, you know what I'm saying? We're not complete.
Amen.
And if you're in the museum as a wonderful vase and there's nothing more to do, what do they do with vases in a museum? Dust them. They dust them. La, 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 la. Little spray. Pss, pss, pss. La, 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 la. I don't want to be that. I want to still, I don't know about you, I like that. And God only knows what God has in store for you today and me. We're a work in progress. And if you've ever been in a marriage encounter movement, as I was for many years, you know, God doesn't make junk. God made you, you're something special. So he's working on you, working on you. Sometimes you resist, that's okay. He's up to the fight. He's working on you. He's had to deal with millions before you. He'll deal with millions after you, for goodness sakes. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So have, be happy that you're not complete. You know. You know, many, many years ago, when I was a kid, I had an experience that was mind-boggling. I walked into my aunt's bathroom, and of course, being a boy, and my mother was not into a lot of stuff, you know, in the bathroom, I mysteriously looked at a mirror. There was the mirror on the wall, but there's this other little separate mirror, you know? And I looked at it, and I could see my face, but I knew you could turn it over like this. And it magnified everything in my face. I could see the peaty dings, the black, whatever you call those thing, heads and everything else. My face was a mess, for God's sakes. And I immediately turned it over there. It scared the life out of me. I have a funny idea that God looks at us as we are. We look at ourselves with that magnifying glass, seeing everything that's wrong rather than seeing everything that's right. Do I get an amen? You know what I'm talking about? It scared the living daylights out of me. And then what do? You can't change a lot of that stuff, so you cover it over. It makes you very beautiful. But in a spiritual journey, cover over is not the idea. It's not, spirituality is not cosmetic. Spirituality is dealing with the beauty that you are. And the beauty that you are as a man or a woman is what God's celebrating. You don't have to cover it over. Although there might be times when you want to take a peek to see what you need to work on, but don't have to always be looking at that. God, we are our worst judges many times. So enjoy the beauty that you are. God loves you as you are. Don't cover it up. Celebrate what you have. And in the inner work that goes on in you, it will radiate externally in you. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's the inner beauty that will have people love you more than the outer beauty. But don't stop trying to look good outwardly, too. It's something that everybody enjoys. But it's the inner work that we're all working on, men and women. So we're putting on the mind of Christ. And in many ways, I shared with you, you know, different little aspects of that, you know, that the mind of Christ is one that loves silence and makes time for prayer. The mind of Christ is one who can sense. The mind of Christ is one who, in a certain sense, will never disconnect. The mind of Christ is one that is not afraid of diminishment. The mind of Christ is one that is open to, in a certain sense, be pushed that extra mile in letting go of something. And I could list a lot of other things that we talked about, but most of all, the mind of Christ knew what life was about and knew how to die. Knew how to die and faced it beautifully and knew it was behind his mind all the time, as it isn't behind our minds all the time. We're going to die. You know, we're like 40 hours closer to death than the time we came. That shouldn't be scary. That should be, I'm going to live life the best I can with the time that I have. I don't have the song with me right now, and I was looking for it. But one of my favorite Christmas traditions for Carla Rico is to watch the musical Scrooge with Albert Finney. If you ever have, how many have seen that? Honestly, that's a must every Christmas for me. That is a must. And Albert Finney plays the Scrooge. But after he went through those three nights of looking at his past, his present, and his future, which is a spiritual journey, his past, his present, his future, looked at the mistakes he made in judgment and everything, when finally he became aware of it, that, you know, he had squandered things and had made things he was too much the self, the center of everything else. He sings this wonderful song. I wish I had the words, but trust me, you can Google it. You know, to begin again, to begin anew, that I might be more than I thought I could be. To live a life that's fuller now. I if I could go through the thing, it's beautiful. I cry at that because that's conversion. That's conversion. And if you remember it, when he started throwing his money around and caring about everybody, how happy he was. He got rid of all the drapes in his house that were a mess and everything. Let the sunlight in, for goodness sakes. And there was that one wonderful, if you haven't seen it, you got to see it. Okay, there's a wonderful scene when they're singing, thank you very much, thank you very much, da 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 da. And he's going along with them in his third visit of the ghost. He realized they're all saying thank you very much because he dropped dead. All of a sudden, he dawns on him, who's in that tomb? You know, who's in that coffin? They're all dancing. They're dancing on the coffin. He was so happy. Oh, yes, thank you very much. Yeah, yeah. And then they really saw what people thought. Do me a favor. Before Christmas, however you can get a film, if you don't have it, I think you can Netflix or whatever else and what have you. Please, please, Scrooge. Scrooge with Albert Finney, the musical. And as you're enjoying it, say a little prayer for me. Okay. All right? That's another song I'm going to break into. Say a little prayer for me. Okay. All right. Love is shown by mercy, and mercy blossoms with compassion. Love is shown by mercy, and mercy blossoms with compassion. Whenever you apply, I'm going to use that term, compassion, to an event, either towards yourself, another person, a nation, a group, a prayer group, your church, whatever it may be, you know you're in a transformational mode. You always wonder, how do I know that my life is being transformed? Well, one of the keys is when compassion comes to what you're dealing with. Doesn't matter what it is. But there's a sense you bring another dimension to what's going on in your life. And in the article that I gave you, I'll just run through it now. I was reading this morning, and it was so much better than what you're going to hear. But it'll be a nice remembrance. I was inspired by the last chapter in Henri Nouwen's book, The Return of the Prodigal Son, you know. And that last chapter really hit me. It's a very strong spiritual feeling on that. Because we're called to be the father. Yes, in our lives, we're the younger son when we're the fixed point of reference and everything has to be about us. Yes, there's a period of our life when we're the older son who's self-righteous and lives their life by following rules and doing their obligations, but with no fire inside. And yet, what God is about is seen in the Father. The Father who was there on the hill waiting for His Son. The Father who gave up part of His security as an elderly person and gave it to the young one. The Father that had to deal with the Son who was very faithful, but in a certain sense didn't grow in His love for His dad. So much so that when He heard about the feast not being carried on properly, He went into a snit and wouldn't go in. I've often wondered what was happened the day after. Did the two brothers talk again? Did the younger brother sometimes yearn to be back with the prostitutes? Poor prostitutes always get it. I mean, they're only doing their job, for goodness sake. They get condemned every time for something, you know. No one talks about the one who's running the house and everything else, but the poor. And then the other one, you know, did he finally, in a certain sense, give of himself more generously? Or did he once again, you know, just be self-righteous, if you would? Did he grow in his love for his dad, you know? But when we look at compassion, some of the things that Henri Nouwen brings out are so powerful. There's three ingredients for true compassion. And the first is the ability to grieve, to be touched emotionally. And that's why we talked about not being stuck on the surface level. Remember, we said move to the psychological and the spiritual level. I hope things move you. I will confess to you, I am sad. Sad in my gut of what's happening with this election. Yes. I cannot get it out of my system. I was walking back and forth today, you know, trying to enjoy the scenery, but there was a dark cloud, at least as far as my perception, over what in God's name is happening in our country. I'm not going into the politics now. I'm talking about the spirituality of what's going on. And I feel that. I hope you feel. There's something wrong. And I don't care who your candidate is. Each candidate, in a certain sense, is making us aware of that there's a cancer in our country that we haven't looked at. but divisiveness, them and us type of thing. And I feel that, I can tell you feel it too. Make America strong. Yes, put back in God we trust, for God's sakes. As soon as we started watering that down, I know our religions didn't treat everybody properly. We did things for the slaves and the Indians, but we still believe that in God we trust, okay? You lose that, you lose actually the spirit of what we're about, for goodness sakes, at least as a country. God can be defined in so many different terms. 12-steppers have shown us that you can apply God as you understand it. But you say it, in God we trust. You know, stronger together. We already are a family of God, of brothers and sisters and so on. You lose sight of that in a certain sense, then there's them and us. So something's going wrong here. Tuesday we go to elect. Do you elect for? Do you elect against? You don't elect at all? I don't know about you, but I don't know. But I do know that when I look at this the chalk mark, okay, this event on November 8th, I have to look at the fact of the blackboard. There's something wrong far beyond what's going on in this election. It's almost like we lost our soul. And the rest of the world, when you hear some of these commentaries and everything, they don't know what the heck's happening to us. And so I was, you know, I did not preach on the second reading at Mass yesterday. And I wondered why, and I found out this morning in bed. Because it applies to this, and I'm going to just look, allow me to go to my, you know, God bless these things. You know, I know that they can be a problem. But I must step back for one moment. Don't make me forget what I'm talking about, the election. Must step back just for a moment. One of our parishioners from a former, who I knew in a, like more, the husband and wife fairly well, when the husband was dying, she texted me about what was happening, because in her husband's life at New York Presbyterian. And before you knew it, every day we text back and forth, back and forth. She shared what she was going through, what her husband was going through. I text back to her. And when I preached at the husband's funeral, I held this up and said, "This is a sacramental. This can be a great use, because I journeyed with Jean and Jean journeyed with me through the texting, because I couldn't be there. I was on the road, but it sustained the two of us." Am I making any sense?
Yes.
And after it was over, she printed it up, and once we sat down and just paged through, it was amazing what came out of our mouths and from our hearts as we journeyed with one another, you know. And the funny thing was, she's still an acquaintance, but in that event, a spiritual companion in that event. And in our lives, we can't be spiritual companions with everyone, but we're like crossroad friends, you know. We go our ways, and at particular moments, haven't you experienced it? People crisscross into your life. You support each other. It's as if you hadn't left the relationship. Then off, am I making sense? Off you go, and then another event comes. You're crisscrossed because of the memory that's there, you know. So God bless this.
Election.
Okay, all right. Well, you share with me. You were with me when I turned 70, right? We were doing a intensive retreat. Where were we?
In Miami.
In
the seminary or something?
Yeah, and you celebrated my birthday. And I have a picture of the whole gang with me in the middle, my little face and everything else. It was so wonderful, and I was so young then. I don't
Dang,
know.
You're this, apart. This,
no, diminishing. I'm not falling apart. I'm diminishing. My strings are breaking. Bing, bing on my violin. All right, let's get.
What? The reading you avoid.
I'm there. By the way, receptivity. Receptivity, am I saying it right?
Yes.
Receptivity. Outside of church last night, someone came by. It's receptivity. I know it's receptivity. I had a brain freeze. Don't you have a brain freeze? All right. May the good hope, through his grace, encourage our hearts and strengthen them. Pray for all. And may the Lord direct our hearts to the love of God and to the endurance of Christ. And then at the end of the gospel, there was, to him all are alive. And in this little email that I get, Contemplative Outreach has a series that you can join in the beginning of the year with spirituality and practice, where you sign up for a weekly thought on Sunday, and then you take the online courses. And one of the online courses that just ended was the welcoming prayer. Now, one of the people in the welcoming prayer, you know, said, do the welcoming prayer. That welcoming prayer is a prayer where you welcome whatever is going on in your life, let go of your desire for security, esteem, and control, and embrace the moment. It kind of like clears the way so that you can live really in the present moment. And Cherry Haston said, do the welcoming prayer no matter what, in any circumstance, because God is with us in that circumstance. When we can be present in the moment, in our feelings, whatever they are, no matter how much we would prefer not to be feeling them, if we can bring compassion, here we go, to that, then that is a moment of transformation. And that's what the welcoming prayer is all about. Living in the moment and bringing compassion to the moment. Okay? So I'm thinking of the election, bringing some compassion to what's going on right now. The writer of this week's email was, this week is the culmination of an election process in a divided nation. Do I get an amen?
Yes.
No matter the outcome, there will be outcries. No peace is going to come from this at all. And then she suggested, it's Mary Ann Best who does this writing. That's her name, Mary Ann Best. She's our financial person. One remembers the words of Alfred Delf. Do you know Alfred Delf, the Jesuit, former Lutheran who became a Jesuit priest who worked for unity in Germany during the Nazi era, was accused of treason because he was looking at the common good, went to prison and was hung. And it was a martyr of conscience, we call it. Now, he wrote from his prison what I think can apply now. For God's sakes, I'm not saying we're in Germany. I'm not saying it's Nazis. Do you hear what I'm saying? Don't anyone misinterpret that. I'm just taking the wisdom that he said when his event that can apply to our own. This is beautiful. Wrote this in 1940s. We must keep on reminding modern people that God stands at the door ready and waiting, but that they themselves must open the door. That's an awesome thought. God's waiting for us to open the door. The grim happenings around us, you can just picture what was going on in the mid-40s. The devastation and violence, and you could say the division and rhetoric, are not exaggerated rumors. They're solid fact. The press did not make this up. There's something going on in the fabric of our country. And God knocks at the door of our spirit. His invitation to surrender to Him and embrace and return His freedom is a thing that should be taken very seriously. And He's calling us to be creative. So, looking at the larger picture, we got a lot of work to do. Those of us who have faith and believe with God's help all things are possible. If you know history, my history professor was a wonderful gift to me. He had me look at history in a way that everything is cyclical. Everything is cyclical. And we're going through a period of purification. We're going through a period of undigested emotional stuff is surfacing. As we talked in centering prayer, you know, undigested stuff is surfacing in our country. And the response is, in a certain sense, to know that it's there and bring it to prayer, and know that there's always a better day when people of goodwill stay true to what they believe in. And I'm not talking about political action here. I'm talking about the internal work that all of us have to do. What is it telling us about what's happening inside of us on how we act and not act towards what we're hearing? Am I making any sense here? This is root canal work for each one of us, because we contribute to it. We do, without even realizing it. You know? And it just didn't happen out of the blue. All the candidates did was all of a sudden take the veneer off of what's going on in our country and had us take a good look at what's going on. And there's strong feelings. And I'm not criticizing anyone. The most wonderful thing about the conversion experience is when the stuff surfaces and you know what you have to deal with. I don't know what the answer is, but I know for sure that if you're faithful to being compassionate, you'll make a difference. So what is compassion? The first thing we said is grieving. And I'm glad you're feeling what I'm feeling. There's something that needs to be dealt with, and it's almost bringing us to tears. I don't know anyone that feels happy with what's happening. So we're grieving. Okay. The second part of compassion is forgiveness. Forgiveness. And forgiveness doesn't mean reconciliation. I'm not talking about reconciliation. It's, in a certain sense, asking forgiveness for what I have contributed to this. Or the image I have of Republicans, or the image I have of Democrats, or the image I have of current politicians, or the image I have of certain particular groups, if somehow or other our heart hasn't entered into knowing that even though we disagree, we never take them out of our heart, we need to do some heart work. Because unless we're sending a message, if you would, that's conciliatory, at least in our hearts, nothing's going to happen. Father Thomas has a wonderful phrase that I love. He says, utmost violence is only met with utmost charity. There is no in-between. It never works. And so, the forgiving ourselves or forgiving people or forgiving our attitudes, that's in there. It's the drama inside of each one of us that we need to deal with in order to begin to think straight. That makes sense to you? Whatever needs to be healed, this is a wonderful opportunity to heal it. Whatever it might be, you know in your heart how one of the things Chardin says, that you know you're moving towards higher consciousness, okay, when things begin to move towards unity. Well, you're not moving towards unity. So somehow or other, higher consciousness is stuck at a lower level of consciousness and hasn't moved to the upper level of seeing we need to work towards unity, real unity. I mean, we're trying to do it in the churches. Pope was over in Sweden for the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther putting the things on the church wall and everything else, admitting that some of it was correct and some of it we could talk about. But there's talk, there's movement towards unity. You know, even in contemplative outreach, you know, there's movement when you sit in prayer with people of different denominations where Christ is at the center, that we're moving towards unity. But anything that moves towards disunity is not what compassion's about. It's not what God's about. It's what we're about, so we can set up little tribal camps against one another that really don't amount to anything. Now, I know you have to work through that. I know the body politic has to deal with the fact of sort of them and us, but not them and us with a wall between us. It has nothing to do with what Trump said. Nothing at a wall, but in our own hearts. And it doesn't, don't you misinterpret that, but it has to do with the fact that who wants walls? When everything in the world, the ideal world, you don't want walls. Okay, so in you, whatever walls you created, it's time to look at it. So the second part of compassion is the whole idea, really, of forgiveness, forgiving ourselves for some of the mindsets that we get into. Because we don't know better, or we still have to learn what has to be done. It's supposed to be working towards unity, not conformity. Unity. Unity. That makes sense?
Oh, yes.
Or else we're going to be stuck. And the last part of compassion is generosity. Do it, for goodness sakes. Whatever needs to be done in your life, do it. Don't hold back anymore. You know, just do what has to be done. Be generous about it. You know, what I said, we were talked about, you know, the gifts flowing over into our mantle or into our... or whatever it is, you know. Just do it. Do it. And the key, having said all that, is stop judging. Notice, I didn't say stop observing. Stop judging, coming with the definitive answer. A judgment is a judgment that many times is in concrete. Stop judging. Stop judging. Observe, you know, in CFM movement, back in early days, you know, observe, judge, and then act. But out of the judging comes an action that kind of like brought more unity. But no definitive statements. All things are. All those people are. All those things are. You know what I'm saying? They are. Shut up, for God's sakes. All are. There's such thing as all are. There's such diversity in every group and every mindset and everything else. Don't take people out of your heart. So that's what I'm thinking about. God's at the door, knocking. It's like the doctor comes and says, "You got a problem. I'm making a house call, but you got to let me in to help you deal with the problem, the sickness that's there, that's draining the life of you, out of you." You know, after South Africa let go of apartheid, by the way, I love South Africa, you know, in this sense, you know, for 12 weeks before the election, 123 different religious denominations went to prayer every night in their individual churches. You, those who are Episcopal here have a hero in Bishop Tutu. All right. And it's a hero for all us Christians. But for 12 weeks, they went to prayer. All denominations. And I'll tell you, South Africa has quite a collection of denominations. No one ever thought that that election would be peaceful. The world was waiting for bloodshed. But it didn't happen. And 4 weeks after, all denominations went to prayer, thanking God for the results and for the peacefulness of it all. So things can happen. Now I know they're having their political things because, you know, power corrupts, and when you get in, you do the same. You know, Merton has a wonderful saying about that. He says, you know, unless you're a contemplative, when you move into a situation that where you're coming in to rectify something that isn't properly rectified, if you begin, if you're not careful, to take on the same characteristics of the persons that the group that you replaced. And that's the pitfall of what happened there. So is anyone home? I'm the doctor, Jesus is saying, or whatever religious denomination believing in the ultimate power of reality, you know. It helps to talk about it. I'm feeling better myself. on a feeling. But I had to say something. How can you walk out of a retreat and make believe nothing's happening outside? You know, you'd be living in... That's what we're accused of. We're always hiding, you know. But there's different ways of approaching things on different levels. And take care of your own house first. How have I contributed to this? What have I said? And how can I change whatever, what's the Lord telling me? Whatever I can change inside to send out another, let's put it, energy. You know, the scientists, you've heard this one, are talking about the fact actually of, you know, the fluttering of a butterfly halfway around the world affects us over here because we're so connected. in so many different ways. It's nothing more than the mystical body of Christ. You know, remember what Paul went through? You know, the nose doesn't need the eye need doesn't need the ear. You can't say that. The ear doesn't need the foot, you know. We're all part of this. Part of it. It has nothing to do with politics. It has to do with a substantial understanding of what it means to be a child of God. And once that's understood, then the political scene will have whatever fruitfulness it needs to have. I'm not open to questions.
How do you pray? How do you pray?
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, send down upon our country all the graces and blessings you want for us. Enlarge our territory, our hearts, our minds, our whole being, to do the will of God through this difficult time. We need your help. We cannot do it without you. Keep us from the evil of taking positions. In our desire to do good, may we not cause more harm. And may all our deceased loved ones who have experienced the joys and the sorrows of our country, who are looking in the face of God, cheer us on as we enter more deeply into the wisdom of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the wisdom of Christ our Savior. With the help of Mother Mary, the patroness of our country, we make this prayer. Amen.
Amen.
But then the prayer should be taken care of changing us inside. Whatever needs to be changed. What are our conversations like? You know? So there's internal work to be done. It's a glorious opportunity, but it feels lousy. It feels lousy. If I've stepped on some people's toes, God bless you. If I've lifted some spirits, God bless you. If I have you in total confusion, God bless you. But the mind of Christ is love, mercy, compassion that includes feeling, forgiveness, and generosity. Somebody might say, but doesn't God judge? God judges. But as you read the scriptures more carefully, you can also say that we judge ourselves. We condemn ourselves. Remember what I said about my dad? Do you have anything to tell me? We judge ourselves. If we're open. Oh. Amen.
Amen.
So I invite you to close your eyes for just a few moments. You've heard what I've had to say. I know I had, what do they call it? I had the bully, what do they call it? The bully pulpit or whatever they call it. It's coming from my heart. There's no hidden agenda. But you can't deny what you're feeling and experiencing. So, you've heard what I've had to say. More important, what is the Spirit saying to you? That's the important part. As we look not only at the chalk mark, but at the blackboard. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, send down upon our wonderful country. During this particular election process and aftermath, all the graces and blessings that you want for us. Make us instruments of your peace and unity. And never, never, never let us take any of our brothers and sisters out of our hearts. For the rain falls on the good and the bad. We pray this prayer in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, let's take a little 10-minute break, and then we'll come back for our closing and anointing, and we'll be finished by 11 o'clock for sure.